Was that you, Pastor?
Good morning.
Good morning.
It was Stephen.
Oh.
Good morning.
Mr. Knapp there?
Mr. Knapp is right here.
Mr. Knapp, we're all on the phone with you today.
All right. Good. Before we get started, what's on your mind?
Well, we were just talking about sort of the implementation of this program and, you know, the segmentation piece. I'll tell you, Rob, a bit of a challenge has to do with sort of the scheduled amount of time allocated to some of these calls. And particularly on the monthly calls, the sort of 15-minute calls. And we're having a hard time wrapping our head around, you know, containing these pieces of, you know, contacts to 15 minutes or less. Our calls just are typically a lot longer than that.
Sure. I mean, when you have bigger clients, they've got more to talk about. So it's is that causing a jam up for you guys in terms of your ability to make the calls, or what's the backlash?
No, I mean, it's sort of a planning. I mean, we're just rolling this out. We see that potentially being an issue, right? If you're doing it with 100 clients, but just sort of conceptually, you know, as we try to systematize this process and plan for time, I don't know that it's reasonable for us to think that we will be able to limit those calls to 15 minutes. And maybe that's okay. Maybe it doesn't matter. That was just something that just came up as we were preparing for this call today.
Yeah, the reality is, if you've got somebody with $10 million and you've got them on the phone and they want to talk about, you know, something important, you're going to talk to them. It's not intended to – the average financial advisor that's been doing Supernova for more than 2 years tells me that they have 70 clients. Okay? That's about the reality. With butlers and other things thrown in, it's hard to have 100. You can do it, but it takes, you know, it cuts into other things. So time becomes the big challenge. The good news is you will develop deeper, better, stronger relationships, and that produces retention. And you'll get the rest of the assets if they're away from you. And it makes any of the investment decisions that much easier, because you're not just calling them when you want to make a change. You're calling them regularly, which builds trust and builds relationships. So, you know, the idea... We've gone away from the 15-minute call to something that's meaningful. The more people do this, the more they want to make it a meaningful call.
So what's your new standard now?
I would say that you block out an hour, and anything you can save from that is great. If you can do it in a half an hour, that's probably average. But if you have, I mean, our standard now is that every call has an agenda and every call has an executive summary. There are no casual calls. And that's just our FAs telling us that's what the clients respond best to. That's what they get the most results from. And that keeps them on track, so that they can finish in a reasonable amount of time and get done what they need to get done.
So Rob, So, according to your coaching guide, that's all CSA produced, correct?
Well, with your input.
Right.
I mean, where does the agenda come from? The agenda comes from the financial plan. So that's why when we say every client has a financial plan, that's why it's critical, because that's where the list of the things that you're going to do immediately, and then those that are going to take some time to do or aren't urgent. And so when we create the 24-month calendar, that's where we kind of batch process long-term care, which everybody should hear about. Not everybody needs it. Not everybody should buy it, but everybody should hear about it. Everybody should have a month where they, at least 1 month, maybe two, where they review their liability management. To a couple months where you review all insurance needs, beneficiaries, insurance. There's so many things to cover that for wealthy people, they just don't have a quarterback to take care of this stuff. And you're it. And it's a great role. It will get you more introductions and you will keep your clients. But there's no way around the fact that it takes your time. But your relationship will be so much deeper, you won't believe it. I mean, it just changes everything. I mean, I'm sure you have deep relationships, but these relationships get very deep when you talk to somebody every month. They become, you know, kind of a friend. And it works. Okay. Other questions? It's good question. Good
Rob,
conversation.
How do you envision, and maybe this is too far out, but the fee compression in the industry is happening. I mean, we just bought E-Trade last week. Does that change the Supernova to an extent as to, you know, how that works? I mean, I know the main idea would still stay in the same, but logistically, does it change some things?
I mean, I don't see it as, you know, I'm going to be giving a couple of talks coming up here shortly in Philadelphia. And I was thinking about the industry, you know, and I think the game of the financial advisor building a practice around clients he cold called and now just talking to him whenever he feels like, I mean, that's okay. It'll live on, but that's not the future. There's no growth. And the only way you can, the future is for the teams that are as professional as public companies. I mean, you just think about it, right? What does a public company have to do to be successful and to manage its compliance, its organization, its structure, its process? And that's why a team like yours is in a perfect position. But it's going to take enormous amounts of focus, discipline, training, constant updating, and constant communications with your clients to be relevant among high net worth clients. So I don't see any way that, you know, average will stay very average and decline. Exceptional will gather more and more of the assets. So you're in a perfect position to gather more and more of the assets based on a commitment to rituals and discipline that will differentiate you dramatically in the market. But I don't see how anybody has a choice anymore. You can't you can't be okay. I think you have to be really good, or you're just gonna shrink fairly quickly. So that makes sense?
Yeah.
So here's the game. Okay, you got to be really organized. You know, the five-star model does that for us. Gets us organized. But when you're doing it, you have your present status in the area of, say, planning. What's the gap between where we are now and where we really should be and would love to be? With every client with a plan, and updating those plans every 24 months, whatever you decide, what you think is a good standard. Where are you now? Where should you be? And then where's your gap analysis when it comes to your abilities? You know, are you proficient in every area of planning? Is there anything else that you need? Should you have another, not just a designation to, in order to impress somebody, but a designation in order to know everything there is for a person with $50 million? So that's what you guys need to take deadly seriously. And there's no going back. I mean, you go forward and you do it, or you might as well step out of the race. So that's your investment process. That's your planning process. That's your service model. That's your marketing effort. And that's your overall leadership. And if you have it and you have it right, you're gonna do fabulously. If you don't, well, then, like I said, you're going to be average. Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree with the idea of organization figuring out where we're at now. I like the idea of a gap analysis, figuring out our strengths and weaknesses. I think that's all good. Those are all good points.
Yeah. Accountability is the key. Nobody likes it. It's the key to success. So you have to set up accountability and then hold each other accountable to it, or it breaks down. That's the key. Why does Supernova work in terms of the client calls? Why is it so successful? And the answer is because you don't do it. It's turned over to your CA, who runs the show. And when it comes to marketing, you don't have that same accountability, and that's why we insist that be run by the same person, by the brand manager. Marketing should be organized by the brand manager, the meetings, the accountability. And you guys and the rest of the team just has to show up and do their job. Just as you would do your job when it comes to making the phone calls to your existing clients. You can see that. You know that's important. You're going to do that. You know arguments. But when it comes to calling on a center of influence, well, I didn't get around to it. Well, wait a minute. What? If it's a bad center of influence, don't get a good one. But if you have a good one, by God, go see him. Call him. Put them on the schedule, just like you would a client. You can't have a lax marketing effort and expect to grow. It's got to be disciplined, just like the 12-4-2s. And that's the biggest challenge that I have as a coach is to get, that's why I wrote the Supernova Multiplier. make it easier for you to understand the value of the process of growing.
So, it's Rob, can I jump in here for 1 second? So let's skip to the end. Let's assume, you know, you referenced earlier people that are 2 years into this program, so they're fully engaged. I'm assuming they're running the system as designed. 70 households or whatever. When they are fully engaged that way, how much time do they have? And they're doing the 12-4-2 with everybody and everything else. How much time do they have to spend on marketing or growth for new customers? How much time do
they
allocate?
You have to spend 30%. And not everybody.
So you're talking, just as a reference point, you're talking to a group of people that really don't spend any of our time on that. Our growth has been 100% organic for a very long time. That is a big lift for us in terms of sort of changing the culture of how we do things, right? So. Just as a point of reference for who you're talking to right now, you have people that are really not experienced, but have not had or spent the time over the last probably 10 years at least to actively go out and solicit new business.
Well, then, is this David? It's
David
working.
Michael. Yeah.
So what you're doing is working. We call it unconsciously competent.
I think we do some good things. I think the relationships with centers of influences are very strong, and perhaps we should just work on the director of growth. Perhaps could spend time figuring out how to make that a better piece of what we do, or a more systematic process, because that's where our growth comes from. It just by accident versus in a thoughtful, regular way.
I would disagree. It comes from referrals. Not your COIs are not spending you that much business. Your referrals are, right?
Yeah, I guess that's sort of the same thing, right? You know,
it's your clients or your center. You know, it's most people get introductions from their existing clients. Some have centers of influence. But what I found is this: when you systematically, just like with your clients, when you spend more time with your clients, you're going to get more introductions because they're going to value what you do more. Now, when you spend more time with centers of influence, they're going to send you more regular introductions than you got before. And let's just say they went from 2 to 4. Okay, 2 to 4. That's 100% increase.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So you say, is that worth it then to talk to them or meet with them monthly?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, it is. So that's what happens. When they see you as, if you introduce a center of influence to your team using the 5-star model, you will go up in their eyes like you can't believe. They will go, wow, you guys are really organized. Therefore, they're more confident when they send somebody to you. They know who you are. It isn't just based on a personal relationship then and the experience they've had up to that point. They'll see and they'll be able to articulate the difference. Here's what I find the problem is. Up to now, when they sent somebody to you, they sent somebody to you because they said, these guys are really good. You'll like them. They're terrific. Now, beyond that, how do they explain you? Well, they can't. Okay? There's nothing there in terms of the exact model that they could articulate. Now you're giving them a story to tell. You're telling them exactly what they do for their clients. Every client gets a plan. Every client gets 1242. Every client gets rapid response to their problems, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that compare to who you're using now? Oh, damn, I haven't heard from my guy in 6 months. Or he's all over the place. You know, he changes his investment process every couple years. There's no discipline. These guys sound terrific. So it makes it easier for you to help them help you. Okay, so that's why you adhere to it. And that's why you want 100% of your people on Supernova. Why?
So, can I just back you up there 1 second, Rob? So if all our growth has come from referrals from existing clients or COIs, and it's been good, we just want to increase it.
Right.
Would it not be a how should the director of growth then sort of help improve upon that fact, right? Versus coming up with some sort of outreach strategy to people that we've never talked about, wouldn't it be a much better use of our time to touch?
Of course.
So how does that fit into the director of growth position?
Activity. Okay. Director of growth is in charge of helping people understand what they do and how they do it and do it better. Right? So just like the director of planning has a gap analysis in terms of the person's ability to do the work. So you have a skill question and you have an activity level question. So if every member of the team is in the exact same skill level, great. You know, maybe that's perfect. So you got somebody that has all the skills in the world at working with centers of influence, understands how to do it, does it beautifully, and then you have a person that doesn't do it, doesn't understand it. But that's a big gap. Okay? So if a client gives you an introduction every 3 years, maybe we could get that client to give us an introduction every year. So how are we going to do that? What are the steps that we're going to take to help those clients that are technically centers of influence within our own book, because they've consistently, they like us, they trust us, and they send us introductions without us asking? What could we do to encourage that behavior? It's already happening. What could we do to encourage it? A lot of things, okay? And that's what the director of marketing can teach and help and hold accountable to, all right? So there's things you're doing, but you may not even know. You probably have niches that you can develop. You probably have a center of influence inside each one of those niches, but you may not know it. And spending more time with that niche and spending more time with that center of influence inside that niche will get you more introductions. I had a team, exactly the same thing, good growing team, smart guys. They said, yeah, we have centers of influence inside of. Went to the center of influence and said, look, you know, I haven't been in touch in 6 months. I apologize, but here's our new program. I'm going to be reaching out to you every month with a good idea. We'll meet as many times as we can, set up the appointments, and we'll bring each other good ideas and value added. And I'll do my best to bring you an introduction as often as possible. And you can go through and then you teach them how you do that by using the enthusiastically endorsed model, right? So they went to see the guy and then explained it all and then went to see him again and, you know, went through it and it was working. He called him, said, you know, I'm really excited about what you're doing. and I just happened to have an introduction for you. This guy's selling his business, $60 million. They got it. It was a beauty contest, five teams. Once they explained Supernova and literally, once they brought out the folder and explained 12-4-2 to him, the guy said, stop, I want to go with you guys. Okay, that's what I want. So two things. One was regular contact with the center of influence, got him the introduction. And two, use of the folder, got them to close. Now you think that's ridiculous. That's not possible. Yes, it happened. Ken Shapiro, New York. Okay? It works. So the more disciplined you are with it, so what does the center of what does the director of marketing do? He holds people accountable. Are you using the enthusiastically endorsed model? Let's see our universal list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals in our community. Let's have them get together. We'll have a cocktail party for them and twice a year and thank them for being in our group. I mean, there's lots of things we can do that aren't like crazy. They aren't like, oh my God, I got to take 30% of my time to do this. No. You can do what you're normally doing, just do it better.
All right.
Okay. Was this important?
Sure.
You get it?
Yeah.
You get it? Get it? Okay. So we were going to have everybody report in based on their directorships, but we've run out of time. So next time, everybody reports in on what they're doing as a director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. Okay?
Sounds good. We are
so
scheduled.
For marketing, yeah, there's marketing. There are seven strategies. You don't have to use them all, but the director of marketing should be familiar with all of them and say, okay, we're doing this. We're on board. We're using LinkedIn. We're using this. We're using this. How can we use it more effectively? Okay, and that's what I can teach you. All right, but we don't have to change the whole world. We just have to do what we're doing better, more effectively. Okay.
All right.
So that's the homework.
That sounds good.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Talk in a week. Bye-bye.